principal. Let me get a Himish Chevra here. So, okay. Packets coming around. Start with, on the left side, page 1, the Gemara in Yuma. And that is the basis for our shiur on Din of Chinuch as they pertain to Yom Kippur, children, how the Inuyim, the Chamish Inuyim, play themselves out for children in old times in Zmanazah. So the Mishnah says as follows. Top left, the Mishnah begins at on the top of Pei Beis Amud Aleph. Hatzinokas ein ma'anon osan b'yom kippurim, avon mechanchen osan l'shos. So when it comes to children, when it comes to tzinokas, which we haven't defined the age at this point, so the Mishnah tells us that ein ma'anon osan, we do not subject them to inoy, or Yom Kippur, avon mechanchen osan l'tnei shana l'tnei shnasayim. But we introduce some sort of inoy in the context of chinuch, before 1 year and before 2 years. So it's a little bit of an ambiguous statement because we could have said it more simply as mechanchen osan shana oshnasayim, not lifnei ulifnei. So the Rishonim discussed whether or not that's actually adding more time. But the baseline, that sometime before the age of mitzvos, 12 years old or 13 years old, the inyan of chinuch begins when it comes to inuyim. Why? Because you regil mitzvos. In order that they should be regal, they should be accustomed to the mitzvos of Yom Kippur. So, right from the start, the Mefarshim make a few diukim in the Mishnah as to why it is that the Tana phrased things the way that he did. So let's focus on a couple right now. So the first thing to notice is that the Mishnah begins with Hatzinok Zein Ma'anos on Yom Kippur. We don't subject him to Inu on Yom Kippur. So the question is, what were you thinking? What Masechta is this, right? This is not Masechta Rosh Hashanah. It's not Sukkot. Masechta Yuma. Everything up until now, this is the very end of the Masechta. Mamash, the end of the Masechta, has been talking about Yom Kippur and nothing else. So why would we think that there's anything else to discuss other than Yom Kippur? So the Tosefta Yom Kippurim points out that it could be the Tana is trying to hint us, lafuke, other fast days throughout the year. That we might have intuitively, Havamina, come to the conclusion that whatever rules we set forth when it comes to Yom Kippur are really the paradigm somehow indicative for other fast days as well. Kamashman, that's not the case. Whatever we're going to outline over here, chinuch, is true for Yom Kippur. It's not necessarily true for other fast days as well. And he points out that diuk is at odds with what the Ramam Ipano says in Simon Kuf Yud Aleph, the Chuvas Ramam Ipano, that it's a minug yafa to be machanech for shos, to introduce a partial fast day, several hours, a little bit longer than you know, the child would normally wait, you know, skipping breakfast or something like that, maybe having a late breakfast, not necessarily to complete the fast, but there is an inyan of chinuch for the other fast days as well. And the Tosefta Yom Kippurim, in making that point against Ramam Ipano, notes that the Gemara in Pesachim, Mishnah Pesachim, tells us that ubros menikos, pregnant women, nursing women, fast on Tisha B'Av, which implies katanim, perhaps, are exempt even from chinuch on Tisha B'Av and other fast days, because we go out of our way to mention the people who otherwise would have been pater, because ubros and minikos are not at their full level of health, we would say. They're in some sort of a compromised state as far as fasting is concerned, but we don't mention katana. So perhaps that's a diyuk. Halacha l'maisa, if you look at the second side on the right, simen tav kuf nun. So in the Bir Halacha, the top left says, Hakol chayavim tinokas baz yud beishanam v'yom echad, v'tinok ben yud gimol shanam v'yom echad, chayavim l'sanos v'lo kodim l'chein. Very clearly, Paskins, according to the Prima Gadim and the Eli Rabba, that 12 years old for a girl, 13 years old for a boy, that is when the Chiyuv for Tainus, in the context of the other Tzomos, not Yom Kippur, that's when it begins. V'lo kodim l'chein, not before that. V'afshal ev yushtei saros chayavim. And even if they haven't brought simonim of godless, but once they're at the age of godless, 12 and 13, that's when the fast begins, but they do not have any obligation, as far as chinuch is concerned, at an earlier point. If you look in the Mishnah Berura there, Sifkan hey, at the end of that Sifkan v'chein haketanim sheyesh lahem das l'sa'abel, afal gav she'in mechuyavim l'chanchon mefil ben yud beishon v'afil betan shos, v'inkom makom roi l'chanchon shol yochlo rak tekim haguf lechem amayim oshar maichol poshet l'fi atinok, So Mishnah Berura, in line with what he says in the Bir Halacha, rejects this opinion of Ramam Ipano and works with the assumption that our Mishnah in Yuma should be taken, again, according to that diuk, that it's Yom Kippur, there's an inyan of chinuch, there's no inyan of chinuch when it comes to fast days outside of Yom Kippur. However, the Mishnah Berura does submit that we should adopt partially what the Rambam Mipano says, that even if we're not subjecting the child to a real fast and abstaining from eating, but what he eats is important also. Because even if there isn't a chinuch for the actual affliction of a fast day, but there's still a chinuch of the inyan of the churban. When we're in the context of Tisha B'Av and the like, so conceptually, at some age, the child is able to understand that we're commemorating the churban, and therefore some sort of restraint and some sort of recognition that the tzibur as a whole is fasting should be marked, and therefore we'll tell the children, even though you can eat, nevertheless, you should eat more simply. You shouldn't have a steak, and you shouldn't have a soda. You should have lechem amayim. Shlomo Zalman says that the minhag is not to be makbid on this. Nowadays, our children are fed normally on Tisha B'Av, but adults who are sick are supposed to refrain somewhat when it comes to the quality of the food that they're eating. It shouldn't be something luxurious. It should be something simple. Of course, as Shlomo Zalman, quoted in Nishmas Avraham, says, that has no relevance to Yom Kippur. So when it comes to feeding a child on Yom Kippur, we wouldn't have any restraints either, and we wouldn't tell them to eat more simple foods, whatever it is that they're allowed to eat, because they're beneath a certain age of chinuch, as we'll see, again, detailed more carefully in the Gemara. When it's below the age of chinuch, and they're not required to fast the entire day, there is no limitation on what they can eat. It doesn't have to have a sort of a more subdued flavor to it, as we say on Tisha B'Av. However, just interesting to note, we don't accept this halacha. But there is actually a machlokas achronim, the Amudei Or versus the Or Sameach. The Or Sameach quotes the Amudei Or anonymously, but rejects quite forcefully what he says. The Amudei Or suggests that just like there's a notion of qualitative hana, that we can differentiate how much benefit, how much enjoyment one has from a simple type of pleasure. For example, the Gemara says that if a man is having tashmish with his wife, and his wife becomes anita in the process, so he has to make sure that the maisa bia ends in a way that limits the hana as much as possible, if it requires waiting, whatever it means, but practically, he's required to minimize the hana that he gets, because once there is an iser to engage in that hana, likewise, when disengaging, it has to be done in a way that minimizes the hana. So too, he says, when it comes to achila, even if one is permitted to eat, like a sick person, someone who is chol sheyesh bo sakana, and must eat on Yom Kippur, nonetheless, he has to do so in a way that limits the pleasure, parallel to that Gemara in Shavuos about a situation where there's an Isser Tashmish because she's an Ida. The Or Sameach says, it can't be true. When it comes to the Isser of Achila is given to us with the Shir Halacha Moshe Sinai of a Koseves, of the size of how much he's allowed to intake or not allowed to intake, how much you're not allowed to, at what point the chiyuv comes on Yom Kippur. Since that is the shear, it's a quantitative shear. So eating that much is a problem. But when it's permissible to eat that, you can eat whatever you want. The question was only quantitative, not qualitative. That's something unique to Tashmish, but not something that you can also superimpose on Achila as well.
Would it apply to Tanis Ezer too with regards to giving fixed fasts?
Whatever we say for Tisha B'Av, would we apply it to...
you said for the korban purposes, for Tisha B'Av and other fasts as well.
Is there a need to limit the type of food you're eating on Tanis Esther?
A katan. Yeah.
Right, so a katan would not be obligated in Tanis Esther in the same way that, according to Mishnah Berurah, is not obligated whatsoever until 12 or 13 on Tanis Esther.
But you said that it's good, the perhaps with that Rosh Hashanah or the Mishnah Berurah might be a good thing to... recognition of
korban. Right, so korban doesn't exist on Tanis Esther. Tanis Esther isn't quite the same type of fast, even though we group it together in some respects, but it's actually almost like a happy fast day, because it more commemorates the positive outcome that came from the Tanis in the time of Esther, rather than instituting a fast day because of the Avelis that we're supposed to be observing.
Yep.
Good. Okay.
So it would be different.
It would be different, right?
Okay.
Another deek in the Mishnah. Now we see in the Mishnah, Ein Ma'anin. Ein Ma'anin. We do not restrict the children from benefiting from having to be, from eating, drinking, etc. They're not subject to the Inuyim. So if you look at Rashi in the very first line says, Ein Chayavin Limno Mehen Maichel. Parent, let's say, perhaps, does not need to hold back food from the child. So Ein Ma'anin means they're not afflicted, you don't have to hold back food. If you look at the Rambam, and the Rambam's Lashon is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, you have it a little bit later in the packets, on page 4, the Lashon of the Rambam is that when it comes to a katan, sorry, you don't have it there, it's on the next page, Tafresh Tez Zayin. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Lashon of the Rambam as follows. When you're beneath the age that may be subject to inuyim, katan shupach min teisha ein ma'an no sambiyam kipurim teisha lo yavel ide sakana afilu im rotz lahachma atzma molchum biyadav. Ein ma'an no sam means that you may not hold back any food from that child. Rather than what Rashi says, which is not the same lashon of Isser, ein ma'anin, Rashi says you're not chayiv to hold back the food. Sounds like there may be an option to hold back the food if you so choose. And the Rambam is taking a stance that the Mishnah is telling us that there is actually an Isser to prevent the child from eating. And as the Shulchan Aruch explains, because there might be a sakana. Afilum rotz lahachmal asma mokum biyado. The Kolbo, who echoes the Rambam's lashon, says that even if the child wants to be machmer, we object and we don't allow the child to go through with a fast. So, in addition, the Chochmas Manoach in his Pirush on the Rambam says that if a parent would subject a child to fasting against the halacha that we're describing right now, in that case, we may actually send the kid off the derech. If you give him a bad flavor of Yiddishkeit, then you might ultimately affect his Yir Shemayim later on. And he cites Yushalmi with a very scary story. Yushalmi says as follows: "B'chibar ba ha'mishtoy ha'den uvda chad barnash ha'mahal b'shuko barta imei." There was a certain man who was walking with his daughter in the shuk on Yom Kippur, and his daughter says as follows: "Amrlei barte abat tachyana, I'm thirsty. Amrlei orchin tifar, not yet." Not right now. Amalei abat tachyana. She said again, I'm very thirsty. Amalei urchin tzivchar umesos. He said again, wait a little while. You don't have this in front of you. I'm sorry, I'm reading to you from my Kabbalah Shami over here. So he said, wait a little longer, and unfortunately she died. So we take this very seriously. So what does that mean? According to Rashi, that you can take liberties and subject the child to fasting, just that you're not chayiv to make him fast, but if you so choose, then it's permissible. So the Tosefta Yom Kippurim, again, on this Mishnah says, could be that we're not to understand the Mishnah in that fashion. Maybe the Rambam and Rashi understood the Mishnah talking about two different cases, but had they overtly discussed the same situation, they come to the same conclusion. Meaning to say that what is Rashi talking about when he says you don't have to hold back the child? What Rashi's saying is that if the child wants to fast, you don't have to let him fast. If you believe that it's better for his health not to fast. So, in ma'anim, you're not chayiv to let him just because he takes the initiative. The Rambam, when he says it's usher to be ma'an of the katan, is when the child doesn't want to fast, like the Yishami. When the child wants to eat, there, the Rambam would say, you can't hold back the food. And Rashi would also say, you can't hold back the food. But had it been a situation where the child wants to fast, so then perhaps the Rambam would allow it to be more optional, just as Rashi seems to say. Where is Rashi coming from? Okay, this is going to lead us into the main body of the shir. Tosefta Yom Kippurim says that Rashi notes that the Mishnah could have been phrased in a slightly different fashion. Why is it that we're told, Tinokos ein ma'an nosan, you don't afflict them? What's the other option? It could have said, Tinokos machil nosan, we dafka feed the children, right? If I was the Rambam, that's what I wanted to say, because the Rambam is going out of his way to enforce the proper nutrition of the children on Yom Kippur. So it should have said in a much more direct fashion. So in support of Rashi's understanding, Ein Ma'anin suggests that there's room to make a judgment call depending on the situation. Because it could have said Machilin, which would be a much more direct, again, set of instructions that you have to feed the child. Now that's very, very significant because there is a Machlokes Achronim. If you turn to page 2, you have the Menchas Chinuch on the right side and the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shabbos on the left side. You need both. Which may actually need to take note of this diak. It doesn't say machilin. It doesn't say, again, a very clear set of instructions, you have to feed the child. What might that imply? So the Menchas Chinuch says, you know what? We have some children who are not going to be fasting. Right? The Mishnah outlined that there's some point at which Chinuch begins, but before that, they eat. So is that really so simple? Is that really something that we can authorize, we can license without any contemplation? Why would we give it second thought? So look at the left side. Even though it's in the middle of Hilchos Shabbos, it's really Gemara and Yevamos that has broad ranging applications. Katan ochel nevelos ain based in mitzuvin lafrisho. If you're walking down the street, or a member of the basin is walking down the street, and they see a child going into McDonald's, so the basin does not have an obligation to pull the kid out of McDonald's. A parent does have an obligation to get involved, even where a basin doesn't have the obligation to get involved. Now, if a basin would see an adult going into to McDonald's, they would tell him to leave, not to eat from the store. But when it comes to a child, basin doesn't get involved, even though the father does have the obligation to get involved. Okay. Now, even though basin isn't mafresh, and when we say basin, it could be any person other than the father. Okay? It could be anyone, the neighbor. The neighbor doesn't have to be mafresh a child if he has a cheeseburger in his hands. However, l'achilu bi'adayim aser afilu dvarim shasur midrabanan, it says on the next page. If it comes to actually feeding the child, so even though the neighbor doesn't have to take him out of the McDonald's, he's still not allowed to feed him an iser d'oraisa, or even an iser d'rabanan. Look what the Mishnah Berurah says, sifkan dalet, l'chol adam afilu atinok eino baravana klal, v'davar zehu aser min haTorah. Even if it's mamish, a two-year-old, who doesn't understand what he's doing, b'chlal, it's still usher to feed him the treif. And that's an isra d'oraisa. Yalfin lo mitatsiv b'shratzim lo sochlum. The pasuk says, by the isra of shratzim, of eating bugs, lo sochlum, ukra yaseiru, it's an extra pasuk, telling us not to eat it. What does that extra pasuk come to teach you? Kibul chazal of a tradition, did rotzul omer lo sachilum l'ketanim. I already know that the adults can't eat it voluntarily. Moreover, it teaches us that you may not feed it to ketanim. It also says that by the Isra of Dam of eating blood, called Nefesh Mikam Lo Sochal Dam, blood may not be eaten. Moreover, Kibul Chazal, the Ratzalom, Lo Sachal Ketanim, we may not feed it to children who are not otherwise obligated in the mitzvah. And likewise, when it comes to Tumas Kohanim, Ksiv Emor Vamarta, the extra Lashon of the Pasuk tells you that the others must keep Ketanim away from from a child who's a Kohen. Father's a Kohen from going to the cemetery or the like. Okay? So what do you see from here? Chazal extrapolated Mishnah Berurah continues. This is the Isser of Lo Sachim. Do not feed an Isser to a child, even though they may not otherwise have a relationship, the basin to the child, whereby there'd be an obligation of Chinuch, or even if the child isn't in the parish of Chinuch, nonetheless, we still have to make sure we don't give the food to the children. That would be Nisr D'oraisa. Okay? Fine. Now, why is that relevant? Explains Menachas Chinuch, same should be true when it comes to Yom Kippur. If an adult is not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, all food is prohibited, not just the shrotzim, not just the dam that are discussed in the Gemara Nivamos. Likewise, there should be no justification for us to feed a child, despite the fact that the Mishnah seems to make it clear that that's the case, right? That you can feed the child below the age of Chinuch, wherever we determine that to be. The halacha seems to authorize feeding the child, and that should be subject to the Isser of Lo Sochilim. So, first of all, your ears perk up because of the diuk from before. It doesn't say machilin also. It doesn't say you should feed. Sounds like almost feeding the child is not a lechatchila. Explains Menachas Chinuch that it could be the only heter for the child beneath the age of the chinuch for the fasting to be able to eat whenever that's going to apply is part and parcel of the general rubric of pikuach nefesh. Just like a cholah can eat on Yom Kippur because they're sick and they have to save their life, so to the child, maybe it's a more of a stretch, maybe it's more of a distant chashash, but nonetheless, the heter for the child to eat will only be because of pikuach nefesh, and as a result, we need to be more measured when we are feeding the child. Let's see that inside, Menachas Chinuch. You actually can see it a little bit better if you turn to page 3. It's quoted in the Mekorei Kodesh by Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. The reason why children under the age of chinuch are eating on Yom Kippur is because of pikuach nefesh. You can only give them to eat the baseline of what's necessary for them to be properly nourished. And also, it may be at certain intervals and not at any time that the child expresses interest in eating. As opposed to what we would have thought intuitively, the other side of the fakir is that no. What we would imagine that children can eat because they're not subject to the Isser of Yom Kippur altogether. True, the adults can't eat, but why should the children have any have to suffer from any ramifications of the adults' Isserim? He says, even a child who is fasting part of the day, he's a little bit older, at a time where he's physically strong enough during those first few hours of the day, and he's supposed to be fasting, it would be usher to feed him. Even when it comes to a person who is in a situation of sakana, But at the moment you go overboard and you give him a little more than he needs, or you feed him at a time where he's not in absolute need of that food, that could be a chiv karis. Unbelievable. She says, even a newborn baby. Also, lachilo. You may not feed him other than rak hatzarachlo, what he needs. Avalo yoser. He says, when the baby's so young, it's really hard to know exactly what he needs. So as a result, we may feed more generously because to pin it down to a number of ounces of milk that he's supposed to be drinking is going to be very difficult, and we don't want to play around with the sakana. But fundamentally, the heter of a child eating, at whatever point he's supposed to be eating on Yom Kippur, is not a heter of machil noso. Freely open up the fridge and let him have whatever he wants, but it's only an ein ma'ana noson to the extent that it's necessary for him to eat. That's what's going to be permissible, and that is what emerges from the Isra of Lo Sochil, and how we reconcile it to what's Yom Kippur. Now, this Menachas Chinuch is actually somewhat reminiscent of a statement by the Ritva. If you turn to, that same page on the left, page 3, the statement of the Ran. The Ran on the bottom of the Amud, bottom of page 3, sorry. The Ran is discussing a very important Machlokes Rishonim, dealing with Shar Inuyim. When it comes to achil and shtiyah, drinking, eating and drinking on Yom Kippur, everyone agrees that that's an issur d'oraisa and chayv karis if it's violated on Yom Kippur. However, when it comes to the other inuyim, sicha, chitza, nilsa sando, tashma shemita, so there's no clear indication in the Gemara whether those are issur d'oraisa or those are only d'rabbanan. Okay, and that's what the Rishonim debate, and the Ran brings raya's to both sides. Now, in the middle of that discussion, the Ran makes the following comment at the beginning of that paragraph. The Gemara says, "Ayn chesam veiz," that children are allowed, let's say certainly beneath the age of chinuch, for the moment, but that's actually the debate. At some point, children are allowed to do anything, again, in this among the restrictions of inuyim, with the exception of nilas hasando, wearing leather shoes. Muchel b'gemara de matarim b'kulan, dekam rahayin de mutter l'gedolim l'rotzon l'suchan. Gedolim are allowed to wash a child. They're allowed to anoint them if necessary. That's what the Gemara says. That's what it's referring to. V'hani bagel tanik avilu, and those are obviously being done for tainim. The e minan hani minayhu chad yom alum istachni. Even though those are things which child's not going to die if you give them if they miss one day. V'imid deraisa hechishari. In fact, the Ran, if it's asmid deraisa, for example, to be rochitz on Yom Kippur. So how could we ever have an exception to the rule when it comes to children that they can be bathed on Yom Kippur? Okay? What's the problem? Explains the Ran. He cites the same Gemara Nivamas we referred to before in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Haim, Shin Mem Gimel, that says you cannot give an Isser to a child. So how can I bathe the child? How can I perform Sicha for the child? The only way to understand it is that the whole Isser of Rechitza in the first place is an Isser Drabanan, and Chazal were Mekil on the Isser Drabanan for the parent to bathe the child. But if it had been a real Isser d'oraisa, there's no way whatsoever that we could permit the children to be bathed, because that's what Lo Sochilim is. So he comes to the conclusion from that raya, at least at this point in the discussion, that the Isser of Rechitza and Shar Inuyim, it's only midrabanan, because you can't understand the sugya any other way. But what do you see from here? That even when it comes to children, we're ready to bring in the Isser of Lo Sochilim to the inuyim for children, in a similar vein to that of Menachas Chinuch, who said that you have to be measured when you're feeding children because the Isser of Lo Sochilim applies to them as well on Yom Kippur. As surprising as that sounds, okay. Truth is, if you look at the Magen Avraham, the Magen Avraham seems to reflect that shita, and it's only later in the Shaar Tzion the Mishnah Berurah rolls back a little bit. I don't think we have time to go to into that machlokas at the moment, but. Suffice it to say, halacha l'maisa, most poskim do not operate with this Menachas Chinuch. Menachas Chinuch seems to be a big chumrah. Why? Because we can make an obvious distinction. And the Magen Avraham himself makes reference to this distinction by asking, why is it that you're allowed to feed a child outside of a sukkah, but you're not allowed to, as he himself posits, feed the child whatever you want to feed him and whatever he wants to eat, even candies and cookies the whole day long, because of the Isser of Lo Sochilim. What's the difference? Why should we differentiate between that and Sukkah? So he references us to what the Rishonim already say in Siman Reish Samach Tes when it comes to children eating before Kiddush. Why are children allowed to eat before Kiddush? The answer is because what's holding them back? What would be the possible prohibition of eating? So the fact is they haven't made Kiddush. What is Kiddush? Kiddush is a mitzvah saseh. Zachos Yom HaShabbos Kacho. So the iser that is noveya, that stems from the mitzvah saseh of Kiddush, does not translate into an iser of losachil. The children can be fed food when what's at stake is only an iser, machmas a din of an aseh. So in the same way that they can eat before Kiddush, they can also eat outside the sukkah. You can feed it to them. You can feed it to them outside the sukkah because the only thing that's preventing them is the mitzvah saseh of eating in the sukkah. As opposed to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is not just an aseh. Eating on Yom Kippur is also a lo saseh. Not just v'nisim es nafshu sechem, but ha-nefesh asher lo se'uneh. So the iser d'oraisa is twofold, an aseh and a lo saseh. So because of that, he's ready to put the brakes on feeding them on Yom Kippur, unlike the other dinim, which are only subject to the mitzvahs aseh that is preventing you from eating sukkah or kiddush. Many achronim say we should go one step further with that. Maybe it's not just a function of a mitzvah aseh, but fundamentally, the iser of Yom Kippur, the achil on Yom Kippur, is so different than shrutzim and dam and all the other isurei achila that we normally associate with the mitzvah of lo sochil, not feeding the children. When it comes to nevelos and trefels and pulling the kid out of the McDonald's, so there's an iser in the chefza of the nevelos themselves. The davar tameh is inherently aser. When it comes to Yom Kippur, so it's an iser zman. Before Yom Kippur, the food was mutter, and after Yom Kippur, the food's going to be mutter also. So maybe we should go further than the Magen Avraham, not just to the Nekroi Kodesh mentions this svara, the Chazon Yecheskel mentions this svara, Rav Shturmbach mentions this svara, the Marcheshes poses this possibility as well. Overwhelming number of Achronim say the other side of the Chakira, that there's no inherent Isser in the food that you're going to feed the child in Yom Kippur. So it's not just when it's an Isser that comes from a mitzvah saseh, like eating for Kiddush or eating outside of the Sukkah. There, of course, even Magen Avraham says you can feed it to the child because the iser that comes from the mitzvah saseh doesn't translate into lo sochil. Hu adin when it comes to the mitzvah of Yom Kippur, because the iser is not inherent to the food, then there is likewise no iser of lo sochilim to feed it to the children. And whenever a child is in need, whenever a child expresses the interest in eating, you can feed it to the child, I should say, even if there is no bona fide sakana possibility or more pressing situation, which the Menachas Chinuch suggested would be the standard for feeding the children because of the connection to Pekuach Nefesh. Told till the end. Okay. If you want to see that inside, you can find it in the Mekroi Kodesh later in the packet. Once we're on this Nekuda, we'll just go one step further and try to address a very important question in this context that is built upon what we've seen so far. The Achronim ask, interesting Shaila, based on a Ritva at the beginning of Sukkah, which we're learning in the Sefta, you may have come across already this year, Daf Beis Amud Beis. The story of Helena Amalka and all of her sons eating in the Sukkah, and the Gemara seems to take it as a Dabar Pashat, that whatever she was doing was assuming that the needs of her children to fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah, even though they were children, was 100% satisfied. And the Sukkah she was sitting in, which was perhaps 20 amos tall, that's what the Gemara is debating, was acceptable still for the children, even though they were children. I mean, the Gemara could have easily said, yeah, Helena Malka, the Seder. She was taking care of kids. So maybe the mitzvah of Chinuch doesn't require the same standards as we would otherwise need for a gadol, someone's actually chayav the mitzvah. Look at the Ritva. Ritva says this is on page 4, the right column. Amar Yehuda Ma'aseh Helena Amalka Ad Kol Ma'aseh Lo Haisa Osa Ela Al Pi Chacham. Whatever she was doing was in line with what Chazal would dictate. Mahasha Minin Dekar Shemachanchan Osa B'Mitzvos Lasis Lo Mitzvah B'Hechsher Gomer K'Gadol. It must be whenever a parent assists a child in performing a mitzvah through the rubric of the mitzvah chinuch, that a parent must facilitate the child performing the mitzvah, it has to be done by hechsher gomer kegadol. What's an example of this? You can't go into a supermarket and buy a lemon and put it together with a puzzle lulav and give it to your child and say, here, shake a lulav and eser. Why? Because you've given him something which is not kosher for the mitzvah. And the Ritva says, we see from this Gemara, that the mitzvah chinuch entails providing the means for the child to do the mitzvah in the same way the gadol would do it. How do you know that? One of her children was old enough to be included in the laws of chinuch, and it's obvious to us that what she did was build a kosher sukkah. The Gemara doesn't answer by saying, oh yeah, the children were only of chinuch age, so if her sukkah is possible, nishkeferach is not such a big deal. Why? Because if you are helping a child out to perform the mitzvah, because it's chayv chinuch, it can only be done if what you're providing for them is a circumstance that 100% kosher for the mitzvah. He says, Mikra mali di brakosav, chanoch lenar al pidarko. The basis for the mitzvah of chinuch is from chanoch lenar al pidarko. And the puzzle continues that when he gets older, he'll still be on the derech, fulfilling all the mitzvahs. So if you set him up for failure by giving him the circumstances for mitzvah that really aren't the mitzvah, so when he gets older, what have you accomplished? That's one ride. It brings another ride from the Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin says, why don't we make Shachiyanu al Hakos on Yom Kippur? What are you going to do with the cup? Can't leave the cup without anyone drinking from it. You'll give it to a cousin. So what does the Gemara answer? Gemara says, you can't do that. Why? Because maybe when he grows up, he'll think that you can't that it's okay to drink on Yom Kippur. Okay? So he says that's a further raya that by giving a child something which is puzzle for the mitzvah, like the lemon, so he may grow up thinking, l'chatchila nesrog, but in my family, our minhag is to use lemons. And otherwise, it's just a big chumra, so I'll save some money this year. So there's an inyan of asil nesrog, and that would make it impossible for one to discharge the mitzvah chinuch through a possible set of circumstances, a sukkah that's more than 20 amos, or the lemon, the chule. So, frak the achronim, with that in mind, so how does our Mishnah back in Yuma Daf Pei Beis even entertain the possibility that you could be mechanech a child to fast for part of the fast? Right? We said at some point he's going to be fasting a full day. At some point the Gemara tells us he's going to be fasting part of a day. But isn't that an incomplete mitzvah? How could it be that you are training him to do what isn't in fact a chefteshel mitzvah altogether? Just like if you give him a lemon, you haven't performed the mitzvah of chinuch. So maybe you're wasting your time by having him fast for a few hours. What have you accomplished? That's not chinuch at all. That's what the Achronim asks. So one answer, Yaakov Kamenetsky suggests, and this you can see on page 6, if you bring in the Minchas Chinuch Yisod, then we have an answer. Because Minchas Chinuch says, let's look at this inside, number 6, page 6, on the left side, the bottom column, the concept of a partial fast day through in the mitzvah of chinuch needs understanding. There's a positive mitzvah to afflict yourself. What is the shear? What is the degree to which a person is afflicted by not eating? The Torah says. And if so, it's a 24-hour unit from start to finish. Making him fast for a few hours is nothing. And he quotes the Rashba, but we know from the Ritva, in the story of Hillel Malka. And then he says, a few lines down, you know how you can get away with chinuch that only lasts for a few hours? Because after those hours have passed, we are already concerned with a more extreme possibility. It's a chashash rachok. But it's still a possibility that maybe you'll be subjecting the child to sakana. So if you go all the way to Minchas Chinuch, so maybe the justification for fasting partial day is not because we've created a new construct whereby Chinuch isn't really what the mitzvah requires you to do, because the mitzvah is 24 hours, so all or nothing. No, the mitzvah of Chinuch for the child is 24 hours, but after a few hours, the halacha mandates that we have to be extra concerned about the possibility of sakana. Okay? It's a big chiddush. Especially if we don't accept the Minchas Chinuch la'halacha. So what can we suggest if we don't accept the Minchas Chinuch? So we'll close with this. Go back to page 4. You'll see a piece from the Stipler in Mesach Sukkah, Simon Chav Ches, where he asked the same question. Same question of Yaakov Kamenetsky asked. And in the middle of the paragraph, he says, Im kein mato el slachana chazakotet betayne shos halav mitzvihi klal. What benefit is there to educate the child, mitzvah chinuch, on tainus for just a few hours? It's not a mitzvah at all. It's against that ritva. It's not so partial what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky assumed, that there's one unit of a 24-hour affliction of not eating. But rather, Think about it, right? Fasting at 9 a.m. and continuing to fast at 4 p.m., you're feeling very differently later in the day, right? Walking by the food and not eating it at 4 p.m. is a lot more difficult than it is to walk by the food at 9 a.m. and not having a bite to eat. So he says, each hour is an inyan acher. Chol shav v'shahu shir gomer. Each hour is an individual unit of time that is accumulating over the course of the day. Dim hishubo al tocha al tocha v'achol chayav al chil v'achil. He says, if you warn him not to eat, he takes a bite, and then an hour later you warn him again, and he eats, right? He's going to get twice the punishment. He'll get malchus twice, right? You could have assumed that maybe, you know, based on the Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's logic. So let's say a person has to break their fast 9 a.m. because they're sick, right? So maybe he's off for the rest of the day at that point. Maybe the Isser of eating doesn't apply for him anymore, because if the shear of Isser Achila of Inoy is 24 hours, anyone who is not able to go the distance, for good reason, because Sakanas Nefashos, if they have to break their fast at 9 a.m., maybe they shouldn't have to fast the rest of the day, because the Inoy, the 24 hours, has been lost. And there's some Achronim who discuss the possibility. Comes along the segment and says it's not true. Every hour is looked at independently. If you have to break the fast at one point, that doesn't mean that the next hour is any less incumbent upon you to fast at that time. So if that's the case, he concludes, Nimza the Chol Shomai Tainus Havi Tainus Gomer. Every hour of the fast is a complete Tainus in its own right. And he's Chayav on that hour for the Inoy that he did not subject himself to in that hour. So therefore, to have the child fast for a number of hours, you haven't fallen short of the mitzvah of chinuch whatsoever. Because each hour is a separate mitzvah. Each moment is a separate mitzvah. So for that moment that he's fasting, he's done exactly what a gadol does. And the next hour when he fasts, he's doing exactly what the gadol does. It's not that he took a lemon and he did only half the mitzvah and there's no fulfillment of the inyan of chinuch. Adrava. For that time that he did fast, it was equivalent to what the gadol did. It's just that the gadol does it 24 times over the course of the day. So with that understanding, you can answer the shaila without having to come on to the mechas chinuch, which we don't accept la halacha. Stop here. Every now and then, Maksim Tova and Yashkar.
Thank you, Rabbi. Does this mean that the bishop...